this kind of game. Lord have mercy.
Trib Live Radio presents the Steelers Roundtable with Trib Steelers writers Mark Cabali, Ralph Polk, and Chris Adamski. We talk Steelers 365 days a year. The best Steelers coverage is on Trib Live Radio. The Steelers Roundtable starts now.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Steelers Roundtable. It's a beautiful day in Pittsburgh. Sun's not out yet, but it's going to be. But if you're a Steelers fan, I don't know. First of all, let me introduce my partners in crime here. Mark Cabali.
Hey, did you notice during that opening Buzzsaw's names last?
I did not notice
that. I did notice that.
Let me start over. I'm joined by Chris Adamski and Mark Cabali.
Yes.
And I'm Ralph Polk. Now, we have talked endlessly about, the Steelers this season not having all the pieces together. Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Martavis Bryant, Antonio Brown, all of them. And the first game in which they're all together on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals, their AFC North rival, they lose Le'Veon Bell for the rest of the season. Obviously, this is going to affect this team in a major way. So we don't know really. I think this is still a team capable of making the playoff. But that 16-10 loss, Mark and Chris, I'm not too sure if it's reflective of who the Steelers are or is it reflective of who the Bengals are. We listened to that intro by, Mike Tomlin about, the moments like these. And this is a moment in which the Bengals for years have been waiting for. We did this piece on Sunday in the Trib about, is it time now for the Bengals to prove that they can win games? I think a lot of times championship teams win the kind of games the Bengals won on Sunday. It was ugly. Andy Dalton had his worst game of the year. And in retrospect, so did Ben Roethlisberger. Three interceptions, two in the pivotal fourth quarter, which enabled the Bengals to get good field position, get the winning touchdown pass from Andy Dalton, to A.J. Green. So, gentlemen, I ask you now, the state of the Steelers, if this team is 4-4, are you still confident, looking at their schedule, going ahead, they're still one of the toughest in the league, can they make the playoffs without Le'Veon Bell on this roster?
I think they can make the playoffs, Ralph. I don't know about the division. I think the division's out of the realm of possibility now. Just because you're, 3.5 games back at the midway point and all that, I think the playoffs are still easily attainable. And I think Le'Veon Bell, I think they're much more equipped to much more equipped for a loss of a guy like Le'Veon Bell this year than they were last year. I mean, D'Angelo Williams, I think, can go in and produce, maybe not to the level of Le'Veon Bell, but darn near capable of it. And when you throw those other pieces around, depending if the quarterback actually plays well down the stretch here, because he struggled against the Bengals, I don't see any reason why they are going to drop off at all. I think the defense is going to have to continue the play like it has, which has been amazing. What is this now? Four out of their eight opponents, they've held to their fewest points allowed this year, and that's something to say about that. But, yeah, I'm not – last year, this time, we would probably be like doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. No way they can replace Bell. But I just have a lot of confidence in D'Angelo and how they're going to use him. It's going to be different than Le'Veon, but I hate to say not miss a beat, but I think they're going to be all right.
They can be all right. I think there's a point, if you're a Steelers fan, that you have to watch this season to say, you know what, just throw your hands up and...
Would David DeCastro say, really? Like, really?
Yeah, it's... It's
another one.
There's some years it's just 8-year year, and they're not at that point yet. Maybe they're surprised. I just feel like, yes, they could make the playoffs, and large function of that is that, hey, if they beat Oakland this weekend, it's pretty much Oakland, and it's not over yet. I mean, Kansas City get back in it, I guess. There's still a lot of teams that could. They're only a game or two out, because when the leaders are 4-3, there's a lot of teams that could be within striking distance. But when the leaders for the wild card are 4-3 and you're 4-4, you're obviously it's right in front of you then to make a run at the playoffs, to get in the playoffs. I just don't know, without Bell, without that dynamic player, if they're going to do much once they get to the playoffs, if they get to the playoffs. So I think it's certainly in front of them. And the shame of it is that Mark alluded to, or he's right, that we had this conversation in August, well, the offense is going to be really, really good, and the defense can just be – we said it how many times? Defense can just be average. This team can do some special things. The defense has been better than average. Now, the offense has not been the dynamic offense we thought it would be, and a lot of that's been injuries, of course. But I think even if you take away one piece, I think they should be scoring more than 10 points.
Is this defense better? I mean, they're fifth in points. They're up there in sacks, but they're still allowing the 27th ranked defense. Is that,
you know, I'll
does
tell
the
you what,
points the main the most, or is it the ranking? I mean, they're still giving up a ton of yards and a ton of plays, but they're not giving up a ton of points.
But here's the deal: in Cincinnati last week, talking to the Bengals players, and we looked at the numbers. Specifically, talking to their linebacker, Vincent Ray. And we say he was looking, say, wait a minute, we're 22nd in defense, the Steelers are 24th in defense, whatever the numbers was, maybe the other way around. But the bottom line, as he mentioned before, that look where we are in scoring defense. And I think both these teams are similar in many ways when you're talking about their defense. They give up a lot between the 20s, but they defend the end zone. And this is what I think the Steelers have done a very good job of, unlike they have in the last couple of years. I think Keith Butler has a philosophy that's very simple. Hey, look, we don't mind, the junk yards. We don't mind you getting yards on us, but they're preventing the big plays, which really hurt them over the last couple of years. And they are really protecting the red zone in such a way. They're one of the best red zone defenses in the league. So I think this is something they can hang their hat on, and it will. I think eventually it might be able to get into the playoffs. But let's talk about the injuries, because yesterday.
Which ones?
Well, that's the point. All of them. And the fact of the matter is, as Charles Woolson said yesterday in his teleconference, is that when they ask about how to prepare for the Steelers, now there is no Le'Veon Bell, how do you prepare? His bottom line is, everybody in the league has injuries. We have injuries. They're players that they're not going to play.
Wait a second. Cincinnati didn't have many injuries, right?
But they did going out of it. I mean, this is one of those deals. I mean, the Bengals had a number of injuries in that game in the first half, survived it, came back in the second half. So injuries are a reality of this league. And I think what I want to stop is so we're not making excuses for the Steelers, in the fact that they talk all the time about next man up. Well, you know what? It's next man up for everybody in this league. And now it's the next game they have to concern themselves with. And this is the Oakland Raiders. Before we go any further, though, the Steelers did make an acquisition. They signed Isaiah P. When they placed Le'Veon Bell on injury reserve. He's out for the season, of course, on Monday. I was a little surprised by that. I want to stop for a second, Mark, because I was surprised they brought in Isaiah P. because I actually thought that Jordan Todman is beginning to understand and really get a grasp of what the offense is like. And I'm going to get into something here soon that's going to really rub Chris Adamski the wrong way.
Uh-oh.
Is that you're trying to figure out why aren't they trying to fit Dre Archer into this offense, but they ended up bringing another running back. What does this say about, if nothing else, the rotation? Are they confident, and you certainly seem to be confident, Mark, that D'Angelo Williams can run, be a huge part of this offense, including the passing game? So why did they sign Isaiah Pede and not instead of trying to rely on Todman and somehow working Dre Archer in his outfit?
Well, excuse me for a second while Buzzaw continues to get text messages from his significant other and emails from his significant other. So,
but
as we pass that,
to address the issue.
Why not explain yourself, guys?
4 days to talk Dre Archer.
Well, I don't even know what we're talking about. I think Isaiah Pete. Isaiah Pete.
Is that a total lack of confidence?
They needed somebody, right? They need somebody. What happens if D'Angelo gets? He is the second oldest running back in the league right now, behind Fred Jackson. So he's by far the oldest starting running back, right? Well, maybe not by far, but he's definitely the oldest starting running back. So it's not like an injury can't happen to him. It happened, I believe, last year. But for the most part, he's been kind of healthy. You just need some people to fill in there. I don't think they have any confidence in Dre Archer, because this would be the perfect time to use Dre Archer, because you want to preserve, you have to preserve D'Angelo Williams some, because he is 32 and he's been in the league 10 years. So how to do that? Take some off his plate. Maybe a third down situation would have been perfect for Dre Archer, but It doesn't look like it's going to be Dree Archer. And Buzzsaw is going to go on a rant here about some kind of kick return. So go ahead.
No, I just think that how many times is it? First of all, Isaiah Pede was just waived on September 29th. It was after the Steelers game, actually.
Really?
2 days after the Steelers game. By the Rams.
Why was he waited? Is that when Gurley come back? Why the hell would they wait that long?
Well, they signed, I don't know.
Sure that's correct?
They moved. It's the official St. Louis Rams transaction page. I know he played in 3 games for the Rams this season.
I thought he was gone before the season, but go ahead.
So that explains perhaps why the Todman, maybe the Steelers, the management and the personnel and the scouts preferred Pede to Todman. Now, you need
he's saying, why not Archer, though?
Extra body. I'm just trying to explain. He said, well, it's a
I set this thing up for you perfectly.
He's too busy playing with his text messages.
I set him up perfectly
with the
whole
Archer thing. Here's what I said with Dree Archer. This isn't my evaluation. This isn't me saying anything about the guy. I'm just saying, look at what the Steelers have done. They keep losing running back after running back after running back. And what do? Every single time, they bring in somebody else. They bring in Ben Tate off the freaking street, who like quit on his team, but the other guy quit on his team, to play and start a playoff game rather than give Dree Archer like anything. They were down like they're played a converted college quarterback that they moved to receiver and played him in games at receiver rather than have Dree Archer line up at receiver and take one route this season. Not one route, mm-hmm. Not one carry has he played on offense.
You banging the round table
and
here.
He is passionate.
People get hurt now right all over the place.
Talk about the kick returns now.
Yes, and then he has a chance. The one thing the only thing they trust him to do at all right now is return kickoffs. Then there's an opportunity where if you have a dynamic playmaker, and Mark's going to say, well, I want to waste time. Blah, blah, blah. Well, you tell me if Dante Hall is back there in his prime, if Devin Hester is back there in their prime, they say, you know what, kneel down because we want to save the time because we want to save it for our
all
offense.
All I can say is Miami and Duke. Every opportunity you have to return a kickoff at that situation, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
The kick was in the corner.
You got to give him a shot.
But the kick was in the corner of the end zone. It's not like he was going to come out.
Tomlin had already said that. He said that he told him not to take it out if it was in the end zone. He didn't say it was in the cornerback.
Well, when the ball was kicked to the 2-yard line, he had to go.
And I'm not even saying I'm not killing Tomlin for it. It's not a bad decision. I'm just saying, why do they have him on the roster if they don't want to use him? They do not want to use him. They're keeping him around. It's not like he's going to get better all of a sudden.
And everyone keeps saying he's a dynamic playmaker.
He's fast.
But you can't be a dynamic playmaker if they handcuff you. And keep you from trying to at least give it a shot at it.
Yeah. I think they gave him a shot, and it's like, I don't know if he can do this.
Well, then cut him. So either use him or cut him, I'd say. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, they keep bringing running backs off the street, receivers off the street.
This is the time. Maybe this is the week that they infuse him into the offense. If it's not now, it's never, right?
Well, you know what? Speaking of this week, do you expect to see a sharper Ben Roethlisberger against the Oakland Raiders?
I don't know. Is he one in five in second games back?
Yeah, this is going to be, I think, this is a game which I looked at early in the season. I thought to myself, the Steelers are going to win 7 games. This will be one of them. And now I'm not too sure. I believe the Raiders, who have beaten them, twice over the last couple of years, a few years in Oakland. I think this game is starting to look a lot like New Orleans and Tampa Bay home games a year ago. When the Steelers were the clear favorites to win a game, you would think that they would come in focused and prepared to go. In the past, I think this is a game that's going to test Mike Tomlin and his coaching staff. Because I think when it comes to preparation, they have not been prepared for games like these. Teams that people say they're supposed to win this game. All right, now, but this is a Oakland team. Let's be honest.
They got a better record than the Steelers.
This is an Oakland team that is much better than it used to be. Why? Because as I've been saying for years, let me pound my desk here for a second. I've been saying this forever and ever, that coaching matters, especially at the collegiate level, but in pro football, coaching Jack Del Rio.
But didn't he get fired?
I don't even know how to spell this name. But Jack Del Rio. We'll get into it. Jack Del Rio has done, I think, a great job of motivating this football team. He's certainly motivated Derek Carr. And the draft selection. They did a great job of the draft, specifically with Amari Cooper.
Well, when you got the fourth overall pick, it's hard to screw that up, right?
They have not screwed it up. Is the point.
It's hard to.
Khalil Mack.
They've done it in the past.
Yeah, they did. But Reggie McKenzie, Hayward Bay. Reggie McKenzie.
I don't think Mike Mitchell likes him, by the way.
Great job, by the way. he got rid of him. So, hey.
He was very cryptic in talking about Reggie McKenzie, and I don't think he likes him, so go ahead.
But the bottom line is, their last couple of draft picks, Khalil Mack, the linebacker, Derek Carr, and Amari Cooper.
Khalil Mack
has really enabled this team to compete, and I believe They're going to beat the Steelers on Sunday.
That Khalil Mack, you know, that's not, that wasn't a slam dunk in my eyes, a draft pick. I mean, well, sure, he had all the talent, but he still played at Buffalo. So you had to say, we think he has it all, but.
Mac Mitchell has a problem with Reggie McKenzie. He played at Ohio U. And they drafted him at Ohio U.
It must have been something where they let him go or something. He's not a big fan of Reggie McKenzie.
Just overall ornery yesterday. But here's the stat about the Raiders. The Steelers have lost four of the past five to the Raiders. Those four teams they lost to are combined 15-49.
I have no idea what you just said.
Bad Raiders teams they've lost to. 2-14.
But this isn't a bad Raiders team, so we can't be saying that.
That's what I mean. And all of a sudden, they're actually favored in this game, the Steelers are, by more than they have been in some of those games against those bad Raiders. Now, some of them on the road. That's a big reason why. But they're favored by 4.5 today. I think the team has a better record than them that's won their last two, and the Steelers have lost their past two.
Mm-hmm.
And, people just think, oh, it's the Raiders.
I think Roethlisberger will bounce back. I mean, he's too good of a quarterback to continue to do what he did against the Bengals. There's some bad decisions.
That's just Russ. That's just Russ. Did Cincinnati have a good game?
I mean, can you have Russ if you go 12 plays, 80 yards in the first drive and lead him to a touchdown? You think the Russ would show up right away? I think the Russ showed up with some decision making. Man, why are you throwing the ball down the field as far as you can into double coverage? Bad decision. Why are you trying to force a ball when you're leading 10-6 late in the fourth quarter, even if the guy made an unbelievable catch? Why are you even attempting that pass? And I can't remember the other one. It was a bad throw over the head of Antonio Brown.
Reggie Nelson with the interception, right?
You know, I don't know why you decide to make those throws right there. So,
but is that though? Let's be honest, Chris. Was that really a situation where the Bengals made the adjustments defensively? I thought so. You know, and I think they kind of disguised some coverages. They showed some blitzes. They didn't really get to him very much, but then they put a little pressure on him, a little bit, flush him out of the pocket. I'm not sure if it was all just Ben playing poorly as the Bengals playing well defensively, especially in the second half.
Well, I think also that some of it has to fall on the receivers. I mean, Antonio Brown, say self-proclaimed, but a lot of people say the best receiver in the league. Martavis Bryant, supposedly a budding superstar here. And Ben kept dumping off to Heath Miller. Nothing against Heath Miller, but was there separation?
That's going to happen again this week.
Was there a lot
what the Bengals were giving them.
Yeah, when you're in the zone like that, that's going to be open. Mm-hmm. So
and remember that Martavis Bryant had a 94-yard touchdown against his team last year, and he had less than, 79 yards total in passing, or 49, whatever it was. But this is one of those deals where I thought we have to give the Bengals credit for the way they played the game and the defensive adjustments they made. Now the question is, or the Steelers, will Todd Haley make some adjustments now with Ben Roethlisberger back in the offense for a second game? What are they going to do differently against the Raiders that they didn't do against Cincinnati?
I think they were a little bit hesitant last week to see what Ben was going to do before. If it was me, I would have ran that no-huddle more than they did. I know they ran out enough in the first drive or two, but that's when they were their most successful. I'd like them to see in there, bring that in there, prevent the Bengals from making some personnel changes and go at it like that. So I think it will get better. I mean, the Raiders are – I wouldn't consider them a good team. I mean, I think they're an up-and-coming, maybe solid team, but – if they lose this game, I would consider it, that's a bad loss, because I think they should be able to come in and win this game. Now, is Derek Carr going to pick them apart? Possibly.
We keep waiting for that. Possibly. We keep waiting for this defense to be picked apart.
Oh, they get picked apart with 350 yards. I mean, Colin Kaepernick threw for 350 against them, so they've been picked apart.
A lot of fourth quarter garbage yards.
But you think about the other day was they held them in check until it was absolutely necessary that they had to hold them in check, and they allowed the touchdown. And I think the Ross Cockrell thing, I think we're all just like over, just blowing it off. Man, the guy's giving up some big catches, including that touchdown catch to A.J. Green. What are you playing 9 yards off and getting run over by A.J. Green on a 3rd and 4, man?
But,
might be time.
I understand. I dig what you're saying.
It might be time.
I dig what you're saying here. But, the reality is that if you continue to give an offense like the Bengals to football a short field, in which Roethlisberger did with his two interceptions. Eventually, ultimately, the defense has to crack at some point. And I thought the defense played well enough, but you can't continue to stop one of the top-rated offenses in pro football. Remember, they almost 31 points a game. They're going to get something
400
sooner or later.
Yards, yes.
They're going to get something sooner or later. So I'm not going to hang this on the defense.
But it was still
to the Bengals.
I mean, as Cam Hayward said, we needed one more stop. And you think about it, they did need one more stop.
Bengals say they needed one more chance.
You think about that fourth quarter, four interceptions thrown in one quarter. Both teams.
A couple kinda, bad ones.
bad interceptions.
That Dalton one, my goodness. Yeah. What's he thinking on that one?
One possession game the entire time. It's always within a possession. Both teams.
Is there a guy that's more up and down than Antoine Blake? People want to cut him 1 week and put him in a freaking Pro Bowl the next week.
How about some of those last week, right there? You can check it on triplelive.com. The article about Antoine Blake. Will Allen, with a straight face, said he's the quickest athlete and the most athletic player he's ever played with.
I do believe on the
12 years in the NFL, and Antoine Blake, he says the most athletic player he's ever played with.
Athletic and quick.
You know what?
That's what the most talented.
That's
but,
good point.
That's what the great Tom Shaw said on the Ike Taylor Show here on Trib Live Radio a couple months ago. Called him a freak. Absolute beast. And you saw him in practice yesterday. The guy was making interception after interception. There was one, I think he had an interception with two fingers, and he's just like, you know, carrying it like a loaf of bread. He's very talented. He can only issue with him, he can't cover very well. He can catch the ball, and he can tackle. The covering's, that's a little
We're
going to
find out just how talented he is on Sunday, because more than likely, he's going to see Amari Cooper a couple of times.
And he's going to be, this is money year too, man.
Yeah,
this is money year for him.
You know, I'm so wrapped up. I have to admit, I'm so wrapped in the Amari Cooper because I watch him play at Alabama. You know, the last couple of years, I think this kid is unbelievable. You know, you think about the SEC and the receivers with his Julio Jones and AJ Green over the past few years, but this kid Amari Cooper is unbelievable. But the leading receiver is a guy who's found redemption in many ways. Is Michael Crabtree. And when Crabtree came out of the Big 12, I'm thinking, he's going to be unbelievable. He goes to the 49ers. He does a Darius Hayward Bay. He does nothing. And now I'm looking, and he is having easily his the best. These are two good wide receivers that the Steelers corners got to deal with, Cockrell, and the great, talented, athletic Antoine Blake. I'm really interested to see how they match up with Amari Cooper.
Yeah, and Crabtree, when he's been healthy, has had some. A lot of his problems have been injuries, and you could also say perhaps at points he hasn't had a good quarterback delivery. We've seen Kansas City.
I think you hit it on the head there.
Colin Kaepernick,
all of a sudden you get some a good quarterback, and all of a sudden you're starting to play a little well.
And as we've seen with numbers for Antonio, as Antonio Brown can attest, if you no matter what kind of receiver you are. Depending on who the quarterback is, your numbers can be affected. But yeah, and they get Crabtree as kind of a bargain basement guy to pair with a plug and play rookie like that. And you know, there's talent on defense, just kind of just raw talent in terms of athletic speed and all point well. And you have young talent, but then you have the average age is tilted the other way because of Charles Woodson back there being 39
Alden
years old.
Smith,
yeah. There's an upstanding human being there, Alden Smith. My goodness. I mean, some of these NFL owners crack me up. Man, Alden Smith, they bring him on. Then you have, like, Jerry Jones loves Greg Hardy but cuts Joseph Randall. I mean, didn't they do the same thing? I mean, it just makes no sense to me.
But the thing with Alden Smith, though, is he's become a complimentary player. You know, when you think about Khalil Mack and linebacker and Mario Edwards, the kid he drafted out of Florida State, I think is a lot better than he even thought he was going to be. You know, and so this is it's interesting when I watch, the Raiders defense. In a lot of ways, they kind of mirror what the Steelers are already doing. I think what the Steelers are trying to do is they're building their defense and hoping they can fit some pieces, somewhere else. But what I want to talk a little bit about, because we watched this game, and we all agree that the Steelers defense is playing pretty good. But I think for the first time, those three number one draft picks and linebackers played, a good game together. I was impressed with the way Bud Dupree, Jarvis Jones, and Ryan Shazier. I thought all three played good football on Sunday.
That's a good idea.
I really, really did.
That's a very good topic. You probably should write a story on that.
That's probably a good idea. I think coming Sunday, there will be a story on those three.
The issue I have now is, and I know this is your favorite player, is why is James Harrison getting 30, 40 snaps a game? I mean, it's not going to do you any good. It's not like he's dominating people out there. You got to know if Jarvis Jones is your man. You got to know Bud Dupree's probably playing better than them all.
What did I tell you in week one?
I don't understand why they continue putting him in there for 30, 40 snaps.
I know you remember what I told you in week one. I don't know. I told you in week eight he would hit the wall.
I thought he was going to be injured by now, I'll be honest with you. But I just don't see the benefit in this defense for him to play that many snaps. I think those numbers should be cut in half. But that's just me.
Maybe it'll evolve. I mean, well, it's
evolve. We're halfway through the season. Evolve.
The last few games, it's been more of a straight share, but it's still telling. I go back to that Ravens game when they went to Harrison and shut Jarvis out in the overtime. The whole game they had been.
But they don't count.
Alternating.
They don't count.
Yeah, they did alternating rotating series unless there was like a one player two player series. Then all of a sudden they got the crunch time in overtime that they left.
I mean, if the season progresses like this, what do you do in April with Jarvis Jones when his fifth year option's up? Do you say, okay, we're going to pay you $10 million a year? Because you don't know what he can do because you're not given an opportunity. I just think they need to put him in there more and phase the old guy out.
I don't like that law. I think if they think he's better, then do it. Because you're going to try to win now. What are you going to wait till next year for?
What are you going to do? You're going to have to figure this out. I mean, James Harrison is going to be 38 next year. We know that.
Right. Okay, now you're right about that. It's not like Harrison's dominating or whatever.
Yes,
if he was dominating, put him in there.
It's
not like he was that. He's that much better. Anybody?
Does he have one sack?
You can argue whatever who's been better, but you're not going to say James Harrison's here and Jarvis Jones is here.
Did he make a tackle the other day?
I've said all along.
Let me look at these stats.
I do believe this.
Ralph, you're a stat guy. Go ahead and talk. I'm looking them up.
Go ahead. Look it up. I've said this all along that I think at some point at his age he's going to hit the wall, and I think that's what happened. But not only that.
He can lift
but
the wall.
But at some point, Jarvis Jones had to kick in. You know, for Jarvis Jones, I think he's a desperate player. I think he's tired of playing behind James Harris. I think he's tired of sharing those snaps. You know, we had a conversation yesterday, and there's a part of him, I believe, that is wondering, why am I not on the field more? But if he's going to be on the field, he has to do what he did against Cincinnati. He played better. He played smart football on Sunday. So I think going forward, against the Raiders the rest of the season, I don't care what's at stake, are you making a playoff, not making a playoff, I think you're going to see Jarvis Jones a lot more. And also, you've already seen it now, where I think Arthur Motes also understands that he's kind of holding down that left spot until Bud Dupree works his way in there permanently. We all know he's going to be the starter next year. But the bottom line is, I think for Keith Butler, for the Steelers, they must be feeling pretty good about those three linebackers at this stage. And then having Lawrence Timmons is kind of, I think now has played, you know, better football the last couple of weeks as well. So maybe all this thing we're talking about, this defense playing much better than it was before, there's a chance it might get even better if those three young linebackers are starting to play the kind of football they did on Sunday.
You know what? As I sit here and rip on Harrison, he leads the team in quarterback pressures. He has two sacks, but
is he impacting the game is what you're saying?
No, I don't think he is. I think if you put him in the situation to impact the game of rushing the passer on third down situations and stuff like that, he would be much more effective than what he is. He has 23 tackles. Who are we looking here? Who's even ahead of him? Well, you know what? I'm ripping on the poor guy, and he leads the linebackers in all tackles. He leads them in sacks. He leads them in quarterback. Forget it all. Harrison needs to play 80 flat snaps a game.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about outside tackles. Rush guys.
Forget that.
Outside rush guys. He leads them all. Because he's playing the most snaps. I want to see Jarvis Jones in there because I don't know if he stinks
or if
he's
good. Before we go to break, I'm going to say let's move on to Jarvis Jones. We'll be right back. More to Steel Roundtable after this message.
In the nation, we make wise investment choices. We work hard for our money. We want our money to work even harder for us. At Nationwide, we have products and solutions to help you and your family build for the future. Contact Nationwide's Rich Garland today at 412-678-8868. That's 412-678-8868 to find out if your money could be working harder for you. Auto, home, life, bundle up, and save up to 25% off. Nationwide has more discounts on home insurance, so you can save more money. Combine your auto, home, and life policies, and you could save up to 25% off. Plus, you'll get our famous On Your Side service. To learn more about combining your policies, call Rich Garland today at 412-678-8868.
Duffy's Beer, and much more in Pleasant Hills, 412-653-BEER. See all of our specials at duffysbeer.com, including Miller Lite, Coors Light, and Yingling 24-pack cans on specials this month for only $14.99. Your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills, online at duffysbeer.com. Now back to the Steelers Roundtable on Trib Live Radio.
Welcome back to the Steelers Roundtable, Ralph Polk, along with Chris Adamski and Mark Cabali. You know, I was curious, and we talked about this during the break. You know, Tyler Murphy is, to me, is kind of is an example, I think, of what's happened with the Steelers over the last few years. He was a kid who comes, he's undrafted. He makes the roster as a receiver on opening day, catches a pass, actually, against the New England Patriots. And then he's cut. He's signed to the practice squad. Next thing you know, he's Landry Jones' backup quarterback in Kansas City. He comes back, and now all of a sudden, he's released again when they signed Isaiah Pede yesterday, a couple days ago. And now you're in a situation where here this kid now. I'm assuming, Mark, he's going to be back on the practice squad. You know, talking about Tyler Murphy, but this roster has been so up and down. And I think Chris, you've talked about this in the past, but this team, there's some depth issues. I think more on offense than on defense. But they because they filled some places with the defense, and in particular, I thought that looking at Daniel McCullers and Steve McClendon on Sunday as well, and the defense we all agree play well, but I thought those two players and McCullers I think is an example of how deep defensively just might be.
They're going to have to be deep, right? What happens if Cam Hayward's not here this week?
With the baby.
Well, I mean, the possibilities are probably, 5% that she would go in labor before the game on the Sunday?
But
there's still a possibility of it. So you have to take that into account. And
so
what happens?
Feel good McClendon playing defensive end.
They have no choice. You know what? If anybody's out there would sit there and question Cam Hayward not playing football over going there, probably needs.
I don't think anybody would question it.
Yeah. Well,
it is still a fan, so.
Yes. why can't you just hold off or something, something like that? That's crazy. Although it's very minimal, there's a chance, but it makes you think the defensive depth on the defensive line, and that's why McClendon and they moved him a little bit to defensive end, especially on that nickel, be able to rush the passer. This is something he's wanted to do since 4 or 5 years. He always says, I just want to be on the field. But he views himself as a different type of nose tackle, a guy who can, athletic type of guy. He's not Casey.
Did he look like a better player to you, though, on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, that's a position that's not easy to learn. I mean, if you're a nose tackle, you got one set of responsibilities. If you move to the end, all of a sudden you're different. That's kind of funny. It's like McClendon might be a better end than he is nose tackle, and Cam Thomas might be a better nose tackle than he is end. But just say for argument's sake that Hayward does miss the game and Tuitt's out with a knee. What do you got? I mean, you're going McClendon, you're going Cam Thomas, you're going LT Walton, you're bringing up Keshad Lyons.
McCullers, but I mean, your starters would probably be
talking
in the base.
I just burped in the phone.
Okay.
In the thing here. Did you hear that?
I yeah.
Fortunately,
I used to hear him. Yeah.
I might be jag off of the week next week.
Well, Cam Hayward, if you're talking about the depth of the rod, it is kind of, there's 23 separate player roster moves since the beginning of the since their final cuts, put it that way. And a lot of them were right at the beginning of the season because their practice squad they had a practice squad, and then they pretty much shuffled it all out once everybody else cut their. Which speaks
I've never
to the
seen that before in my life.
They didn't
by
really
the way.
Like
the.
I didn't think
that speaks to the freaking scouts, man, bringing all these practice squad guys and get rid of them the next day.
Yeah, as soon as every other NFL team's cut players.
That might be a story, Buzz. The turnover of the roster.
That's what at the bottom of the roster, and I think this is. And when everybody's healthy, I think this is a Super Bowl contending type team. I mean, I'm not saying they're favorites by any means, but I think they could, they'd be a high level playoff team and they could make a run. But I think once you get past, pick a number, 40, 45, guy number 44, the bottom 10 guys, and that's kind of what we're, you know, they swap out. We're trying to talk off the air there about swapping out Duran Grant, get him on the active roster, especially doing it on a Tuesday. That was the one that was expensive of Tyler Murphy. There doesn't seem to be a need a corner. If there was, why not wait until Saturday to do it to the end of the week? Was there something that came up here? Was he offered a contract? Kind of like Chicklo's on the roster and he doesn't.
Well,
you'll
find out. I think if you activate him to the roster like that, you have to keep him on the active roster for at least 3 weeks. So it's not like you can dump him right after he goes back. So I mean, the Duran Grant activation on a Wednesday afternoon just makes no sense whatsoever, unless they think he's going to be pushing Ross Cockrell. What do you think, Ralph? Well, I know you love Ohio State and the players from Ohio and Duran Grant. So,
well, I got to tell you, I'm absolutely stunned that both Anthony Chicklo and Duran Grant are on this roster. They both didn't make the final cut. They were both cut. They were both put on the practice squad, as they should have been. Because I am not impressed with Anthony Chicklo as a linebacker. I'm not impressed with Duran Grant as a cornerback. But they don't care how I feel.
They don't consult you.
But for me, though, I'm thinking to myself, you know, you have Duran Grant on this roster now. And to me, more than anything else, that speaks to that we talk about this whole depth issue. I think they do have players that they can play. But there's just absolutely no way that they could lose Will Allen, who may be back this week off his ankle injury. He may be playing. You know, Robert Golden has been starting. Sure, you know, Golden, too, is banged up. You know, but, you know, I think if you can't go the entire season, you know, the way they're doing it, I think, in the first half of the season, you know, with Will Allen going down, you know, with, you know, William Gay had a shoulder problem, but he still played. You know, there's always something going on here. Shazier's missed, you know, 4 games. You know, I think Vince Williams is a serviceable linebacker, not a very good one. You know, so
he's a good tweeter. He's a good tweeter, though.
Maybe you spend too much time on Twitter. But, you know, it's like I think they have really maxed out defensively, you know, with their depth and getting these players, you know. Some guys have done well. I mean, and that's why I mentioned McCullers and Steve McClendon. McClendon's a starter, of course. But I thought, you know, McCullers and LT Walton, probably the Steelers and Keith Butler has gotten more out of those guys than they could ever imagine. But when you get to Chicklo and Duran Grant, if they're on the field, other than special teams, now you got problems. And going forward, we don't know what to expect now with these final eight games, but we do know that the schedule gets tougher. If there are any more injuries, they're going to find out. This team does not make the playoffs if they've got to go that deep into their roster.
And what's that say about the draft class right now? And you know, we'll give Quinn Golson a pass. He's hurt. Okay, we're not going to
– still drives a Jaguar.
and Bud Dupree's been – it looks like he has a future. But after that, your third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks, there's been nothing tangible. And now they keep adding
but
to the roster.
What do you expect from those guys? I mean, other than Dupree,
I think the – well, I think that
– well, one got hurt, one's playing. The other ones are crapshoots, right?
Third, fourth. I think – but you want to get at least one player – in that first year. I think you need some kind of contributions from – there's undrafted rookies playing. There's undrafted rookies making more of a contribution. You know, they're not making huge contributions, but at least they're activating games and doing something like, you know, Tyler Murphy or Roosevelt.
LT Walton, he's active. Dupree's active. Golson probably would be starting if he didn't hurt his shoulder, right? I mean, it comes to the point where there's a breaking point everywhere. And you get to the point where – you can deal with injuries, next man up, then all of a sudden you just, you know, there's nothing you can do. You're done. You have nothing there to be able to replace it because you lose too many people. Look what happened in Dallas. Tony Romo's out. Dez Bryant out. Mm-hmm. They haven't won since. You get to a breaking point, and I don't think the Steelers are there yet, but there might be an injury away from a key one there. I mean, if you lose a third offensive lineman, I don't even think Mike Munchak can fix that, right? I mean, if you have to go with Ligurski, forget that. Say if you have to go with Hubbard at guard or Stingley, you're just done. I mean, you're just done.
Yeah, and you're right. That's kind of what I opened up with. You know, obviously the players aren't, even if they believed it and the players and the coaches aren't going to say it, that like at some point you're just going to say, and you have a finite number of years. If you're a player, you only have so many years. Even if you're a superstar or a quarterback, last 15 years, there's still only a certain amount of opportunities in your life to win a Super Bowl or whatever it is. But at some point this season, you're just like, you know what, this is just good. Like, you know what, which is, you know, you almost got to check out almost and say, we're getting too many guys.
Look at last year. I mean, they only missed six games with their starting offense last year, and it was like four by Gilbert and two by Foster. Mm-hmm. That's it. And already this year, you've lost four from Roethlisberger. You're going to be up to eight with Bell. You have all 16 with Pouncey. Just can't overcome that.
But you know, Mark, you know, one thing here, we'd be remiss if we didn't bring this up. And, you know, speaking of injuries, and I do believe that, you know, the Le'Veon Bell injury is huge for this team, because I think Baltimore last year in the playoff game prepared in such a way is that they figured, you know what, not having Le'Veon Bell is going to affect, you know, the Steelers' pass game. And it did in that playoff game. And I think that's what's going to happen to this team, you know, moving forward, is that, you know, not having Le'Veon Bell as a threat with play action, as a threat, you know, in the passing game, it's going to be significant. Now, on Le'Veon Bell's injury, you know, in that game, there were some Steelers, and I was in the Raiders in the Bengals locker room, and Chris, you guys were in the Mark, you in the Steelers locker room. But there was this discussion about, you know, Levante's perfect, you know, making that tackle in which, you know, Le'Veon Bell was injured, and immediately after the tackle, you know, Levante's perfect ran onto the field, and I think there were a lot of folks who thought he was excited about the tackle, and he's you know, perhaps even taunting, you know, this kind of thing. Never has there been more misinformation about a story, you know, than that one. And I preface that by saying that, you know, Vontaze Burfict was playing for the first time on Sunday in more than a year after tearing up his knee. And because he was a game day decision, essentially, about whether he was going to play. And so I think Vontaze Burfict, who's as tough as nails as they come, but I doubt very seriously, and he said this in the locker room in Cincinnati on Sunday, that he was not celebrating, you know, his tackle or Le'Veon Bell's injury, but for somehow this thing circulated in the Steelers locker room that he was excited about this tackle on Le'Veon Bell. It makes no sense to me. I've never seen a football player, period, make a simple tackle along the sideline and then run around the field getting excited. The truth is, Burfict understood. He heard the snap. He understood that Le'Veon Bell had suffered a serious injury just as he had did a year ago. You know, so and I just think in this world, to get things out on Twitter, on Facebook, you know, to get stuff out there in cyberspace, that there was a lot of misinformation about how that went down and what happened.
Well, I
tell you what, this is the kind of thing, though. You know, it's one thing to have a reputation; it's another thing for it to be true.
But when you're offensive guard and offensive tackle said they did it on purpose publicly after the game.
Well, maybe Ramon Foster and Marcus Gilbert didn't know what the hell they were talking about. You know, it's just, but your take on that. Do you guys really think that Vontaze Burfict will run around celebrating injured Le'Veon Bell?
I don't think he did. I think it was he stopped Le'Veon Bell short of the first down and he was happy and he took off. But you know what? Those guys hear things on the field. I'm quite sure. I think Foster even said something about this. You know, Burfict in the pow during the game, twisting ankles, twisting knees. So they're like, this guy's a piece of garbage. Then this happens. They're like, hey, he did this on.
But that happens all
I'm
the time.
Guessing that. I'm well.
It's football.
Yeah,
Steelers players do that.
Cody Wallace.
Chase Williams always getting
it. What Cody Wallace do last year? Grab somebody's junk and whatnot. You remember that?
And then the official says so.
Now, but Rob, the only thing I'm saying is you're saying this is like a social media phenomenon. I understand the fans are reacting. I just that Ramon Foster is an intelligent guy.
He's a stand-up guy.
He's a veteran guy.
Great
he's
guy.
A union guy. You know,
but he's wrong.
But I'm just – like, I don't think he's making this up. Like, he feels – like, Burfict has a bad reputation. Now, that might be part of it. Maybe it's unfair.
James Harrison has a bad reputation.
I totally understand. And so
– he's not going to paint
maybe
him
he's not getting
on
the benefit
South
of the
Beach,
doubt.
Right? James, 100.
So – But you know, and Marcus Gilbert's been around for a while too. Like, I mean, they're not saying this about every single guy who happens to get up and celebrate something or happens to hurt somebody or whatever it is. So, you know, Vince Williams. So you have guys on both sides of the ball. They interpret it that way. Are they based whether it's because they're not giving him a benefit of the doubt because of his past history or anything he said during this game or whatever it is. I don't know. Dude, I really believe that – now, there's two sides of it, too, is that did – he go out to try to hurt Bell, which is just preposterous because the play, the tackle wasn't
it's
even
instinctive.
Yeah, that part is. But now, whether or not he, but you know, then you go back to Mike Mitchell running it after hitting somebody. I don't know, but you know, it's just I don't know where the line.
I think if the officials, I think the officials thought that he was taunting, they would have threw a flag. They would have thrown a flag on that without a doubt. You know what Mike Mitchell did was taunting. And he threw a flag.
That's not what he said. He said A.J. Green came after him on his sidelines. What do you want him to do?
Whatever.
You know, to change subject real quick, do you know the Raiders have 24 coaches on their staff? I think the Steelers have like 10.
Well, when you've been
that's
playing bad football, as long as the Raiders have been.
24 coaches!
A lot of them need the coaches.
Have ties to, Rod Woodson has ties to Pittsburgh, of course. Sal Cenceri has ties to Pittsburgh. Okay,
it's unbelievable.
Secondary coach.
24 coaches. That's just stunning to me.
We got offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, defensive assistant.
There's
okay.
Defensive assistant.
Quarterbacks.
That's a coach for almost every player.
That counts
strength
and
conditioning.
That counts the defensive assistants.
Still, there's still 24 of them.
There are four. There's head strength and conditioning. They're very strong and conditioned. They have a head strength and conditioning coach, an assistant strength and conditioning coach, a strength and conditioning assistant, and another strength and conditioning assistant.
Well, I must say, this is a serious shift.
You know what?
In the conversation.
I'm just looking at this
going
coaching
to the
snap.
And, roster players
and a lot of these guys used to be on my fantasy teams, like Rob Moore and Bernie Parmalee. What the hell's going on out there in Oakland? All right, Ralph, take over the show. Where are we going?
Let me steer back for a second. Look, first of all, to put this whole perfect, Le'Veon Bell thing to rest here. I don't think that, Vontaze Burfict, was celebrating or taunting anything about Le'Veon Bell. And the truth of the matter is, this is – football is kind of like – I don't want to make this analogy with NASCAR. Yeah, but Matt Kenseth find himself in a situation to retaliate against – I had to. with Joe Logano. Logano knocks him out of the race, and then all of a sudden, he come back, and then, Kenseth knocks him out. Now he may not even get in the chance, to win a championship. The bottom line is this team, the Steelers and the Bengals, face each other again in December. And are the players going to hobble these kind of hostilities, in December when the next time the Steelers and the Bengals play each other? Are the Steelers going to go after, Andy Dalton? Are they going to go after, one of the running backs? Is that are we to that? I don't think that's going to happen. I think, cooler heads tend to prevail in pro football, and no one hurting anybody on purpose. Kenseth took out Logano on purpose. I think nothing happens when it comes to injuries on purpose. Maybe some guys hit a quarterback just to shake him up on purpose. Maybe he get a late hit. You do that, but not in this sport. And when we talk about fines all the time, if this is what's the deal, believe me, the NFL will fine Vontaze Burfict at the end of the day before the end of this week.
Yeah, I don't think they will fine him because I don't think he did anything wrong. I mean, how can you prove that he tried to tear somebody's knee up? I think the Steelers, what will happen in December is they'll play football like they need to play football until if the Steelers start losing, then you can see some shenanigans going on. That's why. As long as it's – they're not going to try to hinder what they do in the game.
But there won't be any retaliation.
I don't think so. No. The game reminded me a lot of a Ravens
unless it's
game.
On South Beach, right?
Maybe some painting going on then. I don't
painting
know.
On South Beach. Oops, I dropped my – I'm not up on my terms like that. What does painting mean? Does that mean bludgeoning him?
Misunderstood. I don't know. Maybe it's
Tim Benz, you're a little bit more savvy than me with this type of stuff. I don't know what it means. What does it mean? Beating him up? Making him bleed? Is that what it means? I'm very clueless on this.
I understand is
you guys don't either because you are not saying.
Because I'm just going to bypass the whole subject. Anyway, I do understand one thing. If the Bengals beat the Browns tonight, they're going to be four games clear.
We're back to Ohio.
The Steelers.
Again. Jeez.
They're going to be four games clear. But anyway,
your boyfriend's playing tonight.
Be down, which brings me a smooth transition, as Mike Barker
Johnny Manziel.
A smooth transition Manziel. To ups and downs. I have no idea what you guys are talking about. Anyway,
Johnny Manziel.
We're up. She's here, Manziel.
No, I'm talking about somebody else that's called him Manziel.
No. Ups and downs.
I got to
look at
this roster.
I know you're well prepared for this. And I'd rather deal with positivity first because that's why I go to you.
Yeah,
I think we know whose down is. Your ups and downs.
My up, I'm going to go a little bit something here. He's not way far up, but he's up from where he was. And I thought the fact that nobody talked about him whatsoever after the game is a very, very good sign. Alejandro Villanueva. I mean, think about it. He's three starts of his NFL career, playing a very good, talented defense. And you know, I don't, you know, he wasn't, he, you know, I'm not saying he was, he's going to be a Pro Bowl tackle.
I like Dunlap
or whatever.
Dominated. You're right.
So, yeah, I think that he helped, acquitted himself well. And the fact that we've kind of forgotten about him. Now, granted, everybody else gets hurt in the team. So I guess you kind of forget that the left tackle was hurt. But I think that Villanueva has shown he can be, you know, I don't know if he's going to be a high level starting. We'll see if he's going to be next year's tackle. I don't know. But I think, he's an NFL tackle.
We've got a couple minutes here, Buzz.
He's proven that. All right. And whatever, down, fine, I'll say Dree Archer.
Why Dree Archer?
You want me to say him. I don't think it is him because I'm not blaming him. I'm saying I just don't understand why he's on the roster. I'm not evaluating myself.
Smith.
I am not evaluating my Dree Archer. He might be the next Dexter McCluster. He might be the next whatever. Maybe
wow, that's some high praise there. Dexter McCluster.
Whatever. Then fine. I'm just going to say down Cam Thomas because they decided to move a guy from a different position to replace him to do his job, essentially. So there, find that. Cam Thomas, there. Happy?
I'm impressed. I got to tell you.
See, Ralph wrote his down.
I got to cover it up so I didn't steal it. Go ahead.
I'll say guy up would have to be Cam Hayward. The guy is just a massive.
Well, that is not surprising.
My goodness, he just.
He wrote about his baby.
I know. I was just so impressed with snap number 60 of that game. The guy's running 30 yards down the field to make a tackle, which he did, and he knocked out Mitchell at the same time. The guy is just like a beast machine. Whatever
beast.
You want to call him, he's just a monster, machine. And he's just.
That
he's,
might be
he's
over
a,
the top.
He's having a Pro Bowl season. I have my guy down. Oh, yeah, my guy down is, I alluded to it earlier, Ross Cockrell. I think,
why are you down on Ross Cockrell?
Because I don't think he
was any
good.
It was a free agent pickup. He was on a waiver wire.
I think the experiment should end. And I'm saying Ross Cockrell, too many catches.
Like this guy was in love with Ross Cockrell just 2 weeks ago.
Too many whatever.
Even when Buzz couldn't get his name right, he liked him.
Cockrell.
He didn't get on his case.
So who's going to play above him, Doran Grant or Brandon Boykin?
I'll go Doran Grant.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Wow. That's the ultimate insult to Brandon Boykin, if that happens.
But they're not going to put Boykin on the outside.
If he gets surpassed, but somehow, I mean, at some point, you got to say that William Gay should play the outside then, right?
Not me. You have to talk to them.
Well, I'm just, when I say you, I don't mean you personally.
All right,
whatever.
Let's hear Ralph's. I
want to bet you a week's worth of coffee that.
You know what? I talked about this guy. I'm gonna get negative like Mark.
You go negative first.
I'm gonna go my down.
Just
first.
Go two negatives.
I'm positive.
Double negative.
Two downs.
If they get blown out, this one of these times we just get all arrows down.
You know, we talked about this earlier, but my down is James Harrison.
I know. I'll get you know, everybody else is slapping the table.
He didn't do it. He did nothing. Absolutely nothing against a team. In which he claims he really wanted to get some, you know, he played
Andrew
with the
Andrew Whitworth owns
he
his rear end.
And as you mentioned, Joe Thomas will too,
yes.
Now that the Browns refuse to trade him to Denver. So, but the bottom line is James Harrison just hasn't been an impact player.
He just
hasn't gotten it done. He isn't breaking down the pocket. He isn't, you know, getting things down with a defensive lineman. And look, the bottom line is he's not done anything in the ground game either. And we can talk about, you know, but I think the one positive before I just get all over James Harrison is that, and I think in many ways, although he claims he doesn't want to be a role model, doesn't want to be a mentor, I think he has helped those young linebackers get better.
They're
I will
afraid
say
of
that.
Him. That's why.
Yeah, yeah. And my up is a guy that we've been down on, you know, probably ever since he's been with the Steelers is Steve McClendon. You know, the truth of the matter is that, you know, defensive line coach John Mitchell has demanded a lot out of Steve McClendon. He's asked him to you know, change his game. Not just be a nose tackle. Stop trying to be Casey Hampton. Be who you are. So we're going to move you around on the defensive line. If you got to go defensive end, you got to go defensive tackle. We go to two defensive linemen. We go with all these other crazy formations. Now, Keith Butler has changed things around and made him a more effective player. So in many ways, this is a shared up. One of Keith Butler as a defensive coordinator and the other Steve McClendon because I think as a coach, he's made him a better football player. Quickly, who's winning the game on Sunday?
This is the table pounding version
pounding
of the.
They're going to roll, baby. 35-20.
He took off his headset to tell us that.
I didn't think you were going to ask me. I thought we were done.
Ask. Who you got?
I'll go Raiders. I'll just say, and then you want to talk about panic. I think then then you got to start. We'll start talking about 2016.
I'm picking the Browns.
I think the panic button was pushed the moment Le'Veon Bell left the stadium on Sunday. That's our show this week.
Is that your pick?
And I'm taking the Raiders.
I was gonna say, you gotta get out of.
When they say panic button, you know I'm going with the other team. We'll talk to you next week.
Pittsburgh's college hockey team, the Robert Morris Colonials, take to the 84 Lumber Arena ice at the RMU Island Sports Center on Neville Island this season as defending Atlantic Hockey Conference champions. Season, group, and individual game tickets are on sale now. New ticket prices for the 2015-16 season are in effect and offer many great opportunities for Colonial fans to come out and support their favorite team. Season tickets start at just $120 for 15 games. Individual tickets start at just $10 if you buy in advance and $12 day of game. There are also special discounts for kids, seniors, and military, plus lots of promotional giveaways. For more information or to buy, visit rmutickets.com or call the RMU Ticket Office at 412-397-4949.